Our first text is going to be found in the 6th chapter of Luke, and this is the conclusion of what is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. And if we could read this in the way that it was written, this would be kind of like after a preacher preaches a message when he makes an invitation or when he kind of drives his point home. This is what Jesus is doing in the reading this morning. After all of his teaching that he's given to the people that were there, he calls them to a decision. And I use that term very carefully. He calls them to a commitment. And he reminds them that it's not so much about the things that they heard, but what are they doing with the things that they've heard? And as I read this morning, I want this to hit home for us this morning about we've all heard the Word of God. We've all been underneath the sound of the gospel. We've all been ministered to. The church has preached the gospel. The church has taught and shared the words of Christ and the apostles. And then it really rests upon us to say, what are we doing with those things that we know? And all of us are going to be held accountable unto God for what we do with the things that He's revealed to us. And that thought leads us to our reading this morning. So let's read what Jesus said. Luke chapter 6. And verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. For he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And that is the conclusion of this sermon that was found in Luke chapter 6. Now I'm going to read a word from the epistle of James. James chapter 1 and verse 22. James says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And I want us to take note of the easy to remember passage that James gives us here. "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." Our thought this morning is going to be a firm foundation. And certainly we read about that in the first illustration this morning. About responding to the Word of God with obedience. One of my favorite hymns in the hymn book, and I love the old hymns, it says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." It's been on my heart all week as I've thought about how there's so many things I know that God has shown me over the years that have been instructions to me. And when we read the Word of God, it's not just a man speaking to us, but it's God speaking to us. I said this morning at the conclusion of our Sunday school lesson, we had a good Sunday school class this morning. We had more of an attendance today. We had 14 in attendance this morning, so I praise God for that. We had kind of a full room, and as we were going through the passage, and I said, the teaching is rich because the teacher is good, and I'm not talking about me. We read about the words of Jesus, and we tried to share those words with the class. And these words are life, and these words are powerful, and these words are instructive, and they're deep and filled with wisdom. But then the question comes is, once we've heard it, what are we going to do with it? Do we put it into practice? Do we listen to what God is saying to us? And then do we then, once we know, do we do something with what we know? And those are the things that we're going to be held accountable for. We worry sometimes about the things that we don't know. What if I miss something? What if I don't hear what God is saying? And I think that's a distraction, because we should spend more time on saying, what am I doing with the things that I do know, rather than being concerned about those things that I don't know. I remember what Moses said when he said the secret things belong to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children. Sometimes we so focus on the hidden things and the mysteries, and we debate those things that we forget that many of the teachings of God, many of the teachings of Christ are very easy to understand. But then once we understand them, what are we doing with them? Are we obedient? It's not hard for us to understand that we're a sinner in need of God's grace. But unless you repent of your sins and put your trust in Christ, you're never going to know the peace of salvation. And it's also true as a child of God that as we learn about how to live our lives and as Jesus teaches us, it's one thing to hear the word, but then once we've heard it, do we then say, God, help me to understand it, help me to listen, and then help me to apply it to my life? You see, God is working on all of us this morning. All of us have something that God is doing in our life, and we may be perceiving it, or we may have our ears, spiritual ears, closed to it, but God is speaking to all of us. And this morning, as we come to a worship service, it's a great place for us to set the cares of the world aside and to listen to what it is that God is saying. But once God speaks to our heart, we need to be willing to obey and do the thing that He calls us to do. For if we don't put it to action, it's like a man that built his house upon the ground instead of a firm foundation. If we don't do the things that we hear and the things that we know, then it's like a man that looks at his face in the mirror and he turns away and he forgets what manner of man that he is. These illustrations are so relevant for us today. We need to be not just hearers of God's word, but doers as well. The first statement that Jesus makes in the reading this morning, he asks a very legitimate question. I want to start with that question. It's one that should ring into our hearts, and we should ask ourselves this question. Here's the question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Isn't that a convicting question? Why do you call me, Jesus is saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Is that hard to understand? No, it's easy to understand. Why do you, with your mouth, call me Lord, but then whenever I lead you to do something, you're not doing the things that I say? Very convicting. And that question Interestingly enough, is the whole point this morning. It's the whole point of what I'm going to be saying is this illustration that he gives about the house is to clarify what he meant by this, is to say that Jesus, if he is your God, if he is your Lord, then you need to obey him and not be conflicted in your life. So a few things about that question. First of all, words are easier than actions. It's easy to say that we're a Christian. It's easy for us to say that we believe what God says. It's easy for us to get the words out, but sometimes we use this expression, it's easier said than done. Have you heard that? I sometimes hear this when we'll say, well, we know what needs to be done, but that's easier said than done. You know, sometimes we know the thing to do, but we don't do it because it's easier said than done. It's easy for us to get it out of our lips. This is what I should be doing, but then we don't follow through. Easier said than done. But it's in the deed. It's in the deed that we're blessed. If we know to do right and we don't do it, James also was the one who said, the man that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him, it's sin. I can already tell I'm uplifting the crowd this morning and you feel encouraged. But isn't that the truth? If we know to do right, this is not a complicated thing when it comes to the things of God. We make it too complicated. He that knows to do right and doesn't do it, to him, it's sin. He that knows to do it right, and I'm going to just say an extension to that passage, if you know to do right and you do what you know is right, to him, it's righteousness. For when you obey God and you know the right thing to do, and if you're not sure about what to do or how to be obedient to God, just ask him. I found that he can bring to your heart, he can bring to your mind what you need to be doing, how you need to be doing it. He's not the author of confusion. Much of the confusion we make about our service to God is not God confusing us. It's the enemy confusing us, or even our own flesh desire confusing us. But when we get our place, our heart in a place where we can ask God, what is it that I need to be doing? What is it? Lead me, Lord. Help me to know, as the brother was talking about revival and getting our hearts prepared for revival, what things must I be doing now to prepare myself for a spirit of revival, that maybe I can be a witness to lost people, that maybe I can share or be a light to a people that are in a dark place. Maybe I can be an encouragement to my fellow church member. We've been going through such a hard year this last year. Maybe I can be in my place to be at service for God, that I might be able to bring forth the praises of our Savior. What must I be doing? If we ask that question and say, God, am I in your will? If not, reveal that to me. He will speak to our hearts. And oftentimes we don't even want to ask the question about what's going on downside of here, because what's going on down inside of here is very difficult. It's almost like if we could just focus on what's superficial, it'd be easier. But many times what we need is God to do a work in our heart. And so we need to ask God to search our hearts, to try us, to see if there's any wicked way in us, and that we might be able to know what it is that God's will is for our life, so that we can then do it and be obedient to it. You know, lordship is a requirement of Christianity. Lordship is a requirement of Christianity. We talk a lot about salvation, and we should, because the greatest thing that ever happens in a person's life is that they get saved. The greatest thing. But it's not consistent with the Bible to say that I've received Jesus as my Savior, but not as my Lord. It's not consistent with biblical teaching to receive Jesus, to say, I've been given assurance of salvation. I received the benefits of the atonement, that Jesus has died for my sins, and that His blood is covering me, but then to reject Him as my Lord. Jesus won't let you do that, by the way. And that's why you have to surrender everything. Modern Christianity teaches that you just accept the fact that Jesus died for your sins and received the benefits of the atonement. And if you can say those words, that it's salvation. But we all know that have been saved, that it was more than just saying that we believe that Jesus died for our sins. There was a battle. There was a death that had to be done with inside of us. We had to surrender ourselves unto God in order to get saved. Now, it wasn't in the work that saved us, but He wouldn't allow us to just receive the benefits of the cross of Calvary and not give ourselves unto God. That there was a repentance that needed to be done in our life, and there was a burden that we had that led us to a place of seeking Him and surrender. And in the moment, as God enabled us to surrender all, and as we finally quit trusting in ourselves and we trusted in Christ, He granted His salvation and He became our Savior and He became our Lord. Master, why do you call me Lord, Lord? That word means, it comes from a Greek word that means supreme in authority or controller. And He says, why do you say unto me, Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Which lead me to the next thought about this question. It is eternally dangerous to rely on a false profession. To say, Lord, Lord, but not know Him as our Savior, not know Him as our Lord, it is eternally dangerous to rely on a false profession. Salvation is not merely words. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, a very similar passage to this, he says, Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you hear what I said? Not everyone that with their lips says that Jesus is Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven. But listen. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, what day? In the day of judgment. Many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. What a profession! What a powerful profession would convince any man. We've prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name we have done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So they were religious people. They had a lot of deeds that they had done. But listen to me. They were their deeds. It was their works. They were not being obedient to Him. They were doing things, applying His name and saying, won't you receive the things I've done in your name? And He said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. So what is it to be obedient? He said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven, he will enter the kingdom of heaven. What is the will of the Father? First of all, the will of the Father is that you would come to know Jesus Christ. That you would lay down your works. You've got to lay them down. You can't come to Him with your works, put Jesus' name on them, and say, hey, will you receive what I'm doing in your name? Will you bless my works? The Bible says that we are all sinners, that we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. There's not a thing that we've done outside of His grace that is acceptable to Him for merits towards salvation. Not a work. And as long as you're relying on something that you are doing or that you have done, your works will be insufficient. And there will be many on that day that say, "Lord, Lord, I have done many wonderful things in Your name." And He's going to say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you." Do you know Jesus? One time Jesus said, "This is the will of my Father in heaven, that you believe on the one whom He has sent." What God wants you to do, and we're going to give this illustration here, but what God wants you to do is surrender you. Surrender your works. Surrender your efforts. Surrender your merits. Count them all as nothing compared to the glory of knowing Christ. And you'll find blessings in that. Okay? Why do you say, "Lord, Lord"? And listen to me. I want you to hear me really clearly. There are a lot of people that rely on false professions. I can't tell you whether your profession is false or whether it's true, but you know between yourself and God. And if you have doubts, if you're concerned, you know, when I was growing up in different kinds of churches, they would always tell us that if we had doubts about our salvation, that always came from the enemy. And I found that that's just not true. Sometimes people have doubts about their profession because nothing actually happened. And that's healthy. It's healthy to doubt those things. It's healthy to go back to the beginning. It's healthy to make your calling and your election sure. It's healthy. What would be dangerous is to rely on a false profession and go to your deathbed with that. Don't do that. Find assurance in Christ. You can know for yourself that you're saved. And it's available to everybody, not just the super Christian. There's some people that say, "Oh, well, you know, they've got great assurance because of their great works." No, we have great assurance because of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us and the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts. I don't have a work to give to Him. When I go to judgment, my profession is not going to be, "Lord, Lord, I've done many wonderful works in Your name." It's not my profession. "For my works are as filthy rags before God." But what I am going to do is praise Him for the great work that He did upon Calvary and the fact that He saved my soul as an unworthy boy. And for me, it's either Christ or nothing. Either what He did for me is sufficient or I'm going to go to hell. Because I don't have anything to give Him. And you might not like that. You might think of me a fool. But I'm going to live with it. And I'm going to die with it. Yeah. Why do you say, "Lord, Lord," but then don't do the thing that I say? Come to me. Surrender all to me. Trust in me and follow me. That's what He said. Okay, the illustration. Building your house upon a foundation. Because see, all of us are, if we think about this illustration as like our life, all of us are building our life. We're all about, you know, whatever it is that we're doing, we're building this thing that we call our life. And He said, you know, the one that He said basically three things that a person that is wise does. First of all, they come to Jesus. Come to me. That's by faith. If you want to get your life built upon a firm foundation, the first thing you need to do is come to Christ believing. That's where most of the world falls short, is they don't believe in Him. They don't really believe in God. I'm talking about from the heart. And so because He says, you come to me. You hear my words. You put yourself in a position to listen to me. That's one of the maladies I think will be said about our generation, don't you? That we had so many distractions that we couldn't hear anything. I think that's going to be something when people look back at our generation, the testimony against us is going to be, they had so many things that they were listening to, they couldn't hear anything. Come to me, listen to my words. And that's why it's good that we come to church on Sunday, that we shut our devices off. If you're not used to doing that, I want to encourage you to shut the thing off while we're in church. It'll wait. You know, if you've got an emergency thing, allow only that emergency thing to come through. Everything else, shut it off. Why? So you can listen, not to me, not because I'm so important, but that you can hear the word of God. And then do it. I don't mean like tomorrow do it. I mean like now do it. Like when he says to do it, do it. That's obedience. You ever have your kids, you tell them to do something, and this is terrible being a preacher's kid, by the way, but just hypothetically, all right? You got kids, hypothetically, and you tell them to do something, and they don't really acknowledge you, but they start walking in the direction, and they shuffle. Oh. Well, they're going to get to it this decade. Sometimes we're like that with God. Yeah. I'll start moving in that direction. Maybe he'll forget. Do it. Obey him. He said a wise man comes to God by faith, listens to God with his spiritual ears, and then does what he says. True religion 101. That's all it is. It's not complicated. But easier said than done. Easier said than done. Do it. Be brave. Most of what holds us back from doing what God wants us to do is we're scared. Be brave. Trust in God. Move forward even if you don't feel 100% confident. If you know God has said it, he'll take care of you. What's going to happen if I do that thing? I don't know. That's what walking by faith is. You don't know. You just say, I trust God. He knows. Okay? So the illustration here about building your house on the rock. These, in their day, and I'm not a builder, probably need one of these guys that's a builder to come up and really help understand. But there's a few things I understand about this passage. That's what I'll stick to. First of all, that he said to dig deep. He said a person that is wise, or a person that listens to the word of God and does it, is like a man who dug deep and built his house upon a firm foundation. And I thought, well, what does that mean? So I read some about that. And those of you that are builders, you say, well, that's obvious what that means. So forgive me. But in Jesus' day, the earth in the superficial layer, because of the sun and because of the heat, it was very hard. And so it would have been deceiving. You could have thought that maybe it was hard enough that you could go ahead and build on the ground. So he wasn't completely foolish. You know, he kind of felt it out, and it felt like we're on a firm spot. And so we'll go ahead and build the house there on that place. And he said the wise man is the one that doesn't get deceived by that, but takes some time and digs deep until he finds bedrock, until he finds a place that really is a firm foundation. And then he starts building his house there. Boy, when I've thought about this over the last couple of weeks, it has just filled me up about how that really, when we come to God, we've got to take the time to get a good start. That we've got to take some time maybe to start over. You know, I think sometimes it might be tempting to just go ahead because it takes less time and it's easier to kind of start where you are. But God doesn't want you to start where you are. He wants you to start all over with nothing and get down to the bedrock. Now, as an illustration to this, another kid example. I'm sorry, guys. But hypothetically, if you have children and you're trying to teach them how to make their bed, and so you go in and hypothetically one of your children has a wad of covers in the center of his their bed, right? And they go to make it. And they shuffle it around, and it, you know, it's all lumpy and everything. And then said, well, see, I made my bed. And so what do you say when you go in? That'll not do.
The bed is not made. And so what do? You pull it all off. And you start from the first sheet and you get that straight. And then you go to the next layer and you get that straight. And by the time you're finished, you have a made bed. See, now you all understand what I'm talking about. It's a good illustration. With our life, sometimes we want to just kind of start from where we are. We got a wad. We got a mess in our life, and we kind of push it around and say, I've got church, I've got religion, I'm doing better, treating my spouse better, I'm more obedient to my parents, I'm more kind than I used to be, and so the bed's made. And God comes by and says, that'll never do. We've got to start all over. We got to dig deep to find the bedrock. You need to take time to consider your soul. You need to take time to consider your life. You need to take time to realize that what you need is God's ways, Christ and His teaching. You need that as the foundation of your life to start out. I got good news for you. That's the gospel. The plan of God is that we would start over, that we would be born again. And we come to God with all of our credentials, and He says, I'll get rid of all that. And we come to Him with our works, and He says, scrap it. And it makes us mad. Well, don't you give any credit for this I've done over here? And He says, no, we need to start over. Start over. If you're living your life by your own strength and doing your own thing, start over. Say, God, I want to start with a blank slate. We do this all the time in project management, and you're trying to solve a problem and you're trying to fix it from where you are right now. And finally you say, what if we just had a blank piece of paper? What if we didn't have all the barriers that we have right now? What could we accomplish if we just started the whole thing over? And God says to us, says, start over, dig deep. If you started building your house on the ground, go ahead and tear it down and start from the foundation. If the foundation is good, everything above it will be good. But if the foundation is poor, it doesn't matter how good the structure is that you built on the ground, it will fall. So you got to start over. You got to scrap it. You've got to dig deep. You've got to build on a firm foundation. Now, you're maybe building on sinking sand in your life. And you think morality or, you know, a better way is the foundation for your life. Or maybe even the comforts of this world. And that's where so many people get messed up, as they think, well, God's favor equals that I've got a good job and 2.5 children and a car and all these, the American dream. And if I've got that, then God is blessing me. Friends, that is sinking sand. Amen. It'll be here today and gone tomorrow. You got to scrap it. You mean I got to get rid of it all? Well, I don't know, but in your heart you do. You got to scrap it and get dig deep and then build your life on a firm foundation. There's only one firm foundation. Only one. You might be looking out there in your life for all kinds of other places to find a firm foundation. You'll not find it apart from God, Christ, and His teachings. You just won't. Jesus is the firm foundation. The Apostle Paul, I was reading, he was talking to the Corinthian church about the foundation of the church. And it's a different context, but he was talking about those that come with a different teaching. And he said, there's no other foundation that can be laid than the one that I already laid, Jesus Christ. And then after the foundation is laid, you start building upon it. Let every man be very careful about how he builds on it. Some build with wood, hay, and stubble, and others with precious metals and precious stones. He said the day will declare it. What day? The last day, the day of judgment. As by fire, the wood, hay, and stubble will be burned up, but you yourself will be saved, so as by fire. Why? Because you're built upon a firm foundation. What's your life built on this morning? Is it on the foundation? That foundation is Christ. Peter said that the foundation that was laid, he said the stone that was laid was a chief cornerstone. He said, I'll lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, precious. He said, to those that believe, he's precious. To those that don't believe, he's an offense, a rock of offense. Is your life built upon Christ? And by what measure? Did you ever have a place where you started over and you began listening and you opened up your heart? You know, we talk a lot about a time and a place of salvation. It's not so much about the calendar date. It's about there was a time in your life where you came to God in repentance and it all started over for you. If you carry a bunch of stuff from your previous life, it'll be a detriment to you. It'll keep you from entering the kingdom of God. But if you lay it all down and you just surrender it and you dig down to the rock and you say, I'm going to build there, it'll stand. And the last thing he said about this illustration, he said, the streams come. Now in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, he said the storms came, the winds blew and beat upon the house. It's the same idea. This is representing the trials of life, the troubles that come. And how many are there? I don't know. I've not finished this thing yet, but there's a lot. The stream comes and, oh, the power of water. We found that out last week. If anybody had a pipe burst or something like that, you can see how a little water can just destroy a whole building. Any of you have seen the ocean tide? You've seen the power of water. Water is so powerful. And it said the streams come and beat upon that house. Friends, the trials of life come and they beat upon your life. And don't think yourself to be strange because you experience trials in life. We all experience them. Mine might not be exactly like yours, but we all got trouble. To the one that didn't start over, to the one that just kind of reformed, heard the word and didn't really do it the way he said, when the storms come, that was what proved it out. It fell. And great was the fall of it. How sad. How sad. My heart is, I don't want anybody to end up like that. Neither does God. God doesn't want anyone to end up a castaway or destroyed. No one. In the New Testament it said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God for you. He wants you to come to repentance. He wants you to turn from that today. Just to turn away from sin. Turn away from your life. Start over. Dig deep. Seek God. Find the foundation. Build from there. He said the one that did that, the stream came and it couldn't shake it. Can you imagine? I mean, that building was strong. It was unable to be deterred by a stream that built upon it. How was it so strong? Jesus said, because it was built upon a solid and a firm foundation. What God has placed on my heart this morning is just to ask you, is your life built upon the firm foundation? Have you been saved? Have you found Christ to be your Savior? Do you hear the word and do it? Not just religious stuff. Do you do what he says? Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Are you living, trusting, and obeying Christ? If you are, the streams are going to come. The streams are going to come to all of us. Those storms are so common. And they will beat upon our house. I've heard this said many times, and I agree with it completely. I don't know how anybody can make it without God. And I'll just tell you, in the end, you won't. Oh, you may have been strong on your own for a while, but you won't make it through judgment without God. You won't make it through judgment without forgiveness, without salvation. You need it. So, me too. Last thing and I'm done. James said, it's a different illustration. I won't spend hardly any time on it. He said, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. I know there are deceivers out there, and the Bible talks about deceivers, but I think probably more people have been deceived by their own self than any other man. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. He said the person that is a hearer only is like a person that looks at his face in the mirror and then turns away and forgets what he saw. So that's the kind of guy that looks at God's word and then turns away and doesn't do it. If you looked at yourself in the glass, what would you see? You would see just exactly what you are. And if you saw that there was a flaw, you'd address it. But if you turn away and just forget it, it's still there. You're just not mindful of it. So the one that is blessed in his deed is the one that looks into the perfect law of liberty and he sees his flaw and he addresses it. He gets that right with God and he does what God wants him to do. That man we bless in his deed. We are really self-deceiving sometimes. We walk away and we ignore the things that we know. I've met a lot of people, and I know that I'm prone to be that way. That won't get us anywhere. We got to be open and honest before God. And we need to hear the word and then do it. And if you'll do that, and that's the conclusion of the matter. That's kind of like all the teaching. It comes down to this. Jesus said, okay, you've heard it all. You've heard all these things that I've taught. The question is, are you going to be wise, dig deep, build your life upon a firm foundation? Or are you going to build it upon sinking sand so when the stream comes, the house falls? It's really kind of up to you. God has done the drawing. God has given you the message. He's given you the revelation. It's not like you're going to be able to go to judgment and say, well, you just didn't tell me. He's told you. But what do you do with it? The thing to do is, if God's drawing you, is to address it. Go to Him in prayer. Ask for His mercy. Ask for His leadership. If you're lost today, you need to seek God until you're saved. He'll save you today. He died for you on the cross. Yes, He did. But He wants you to come to Him. Hear His word. And believe. And obey. Have to be done. But I think this message is for all of us, including me, that if we're going to be blessed, we're going to have to kind of lay ourselves down, keep building on the foundation. Make our foundation sure, keep building on the good things. And what the church will do if we do that, we'll be able to give glory to God, which is our purpose, which is our whole duty. Why don't we get a hymn? That's the end of our message this morning. As we get a song together and as we stand and sing, we might have a hymn of invitation. It's the Lord that gives the invitation, but if there's someone here that feels the need to come and seek God, or you've got something that's heavy on your heart, you need to pray, this altar is open. We'd invite you to come and seek the Lord. Or where you are, you just need to follow God. Let's all stand together as we sing this hymn.
Let's sing number 358. Thank you.